stop.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, welcome back to Banter with the Boys Fast Laps. I know it's been a minute. We went back to our original plan of recapping the race a good week after that's happened. So, of course, we're going to talk about the Canadian Grand Prix and the Spanish Grand Prix coming up. So, let's just get right into it here. Obviously, Joe right next to me, as always, our co-host. Joe, what's going on?
Happy to be here. 3 weeks is way too long.
Felt extremely long,
especially after a race like that and a race coming up, which is going to hopefully be equally as fun. Yeah, 3 weeks is way too long. Really happy to be back here.
For sure. And next to him, obviously, we got Cole. Cole, how's your week, man?
Good. Looks like we're going to get storms today. So on suit for Tuesday.
Status quo.
Yeah, has to be that way. And I was saying this yesterday when we were all chatting, but this was like the first race where I was pretty locked in the entire time. It was a very fun race. I'm excited to get into it.
And I'm really disappointed I missed a good chunk of this race. I was not locked in, but we still know what went on. Tyler, what's going on?
Not much, man. Just typical Tuesday storms. Hopefully we actually get a good one.
Typical Tuesday storms, hoping for a tree to fall, according to him.
Yeah, just clip the top portion of the house and take out the garage.
That's it. That's all you're asking for.
That's what we need.
Not a big deal. That's it. Let's just head right into quali for Canada real quick. We don't need to touch on it that much, but it was a little bit different. Did anybody actually catch quali like live or actually watch the whole duration of it?
Yep.
Joe, you did?
Yeah, I always try to at least watch quali in the race whenever the weekend's coming up.
For sure. If you could take away one thing from quali, this specific race, what did you see that impressed you?
I mean,
that was different.
Checo going out in Q1 is like, it's surprising, but also it's starting to become not surprising, which is not great considering he just got that contract extension. I guess the other really big thing to call out for qualifying, or actually three things to call out. Ferrari's out in Q2, both V-carbs in Q3. And finally, George and Max with the exact same time at the end of Q3. I think that this is the first time in like, it was either like 40 years, maybe. I could be wrong, but it's
no, it was
it's,
the
it's
late it was the late 90s. It actually happened at Canada.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did it really?
Same track,
and it was three people had the same time.
Wow, that's crazy. So not 40 years, but about half of that. Yeah. So very, very interesting quality. It was a fun watch, and then the race just kind of, yeah, it followed suit. It was maybe not like how I would want the race to end, but it was still a really good race to watch. Probably the best this year so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, one other call out in quali is Danny Ric putting up a 5 spot in quali was not expected. If you're thinking a V carb's gonna be up there, it'd be Yuki. But he answered that one dude who's the name's blanking me's criticism
of
him.
It was Jacques Villeneuve. Yeah,
the guy who's like the track's named after either the son or
the father. Yeah. Yep.
Wait, what did he say?
He was like, before the race, he was just saying, like, this guy should not be in a car, basically.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, like pretty aggressively, washed. He was like, there's no reason this guy's in a car.
It was right before quali. It was, like, a part of, like, the Sky Sports broadcast.
So then he qualies P5 and then finishes in points.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he made his remarks known because he was asked that question after, I think, either qualifying or the race, and he's like, well, here I am, you know, qualifying fifth, super close to first, like, use a little bit of explicits, I think.
I might be wrong, but didn't Danny Ric say that there was like a few times, like this guy's been consistently hating on him, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said he's always been a hater and he can lick his...
Ah, word.
What?
Word.
Nice.
Things and stuff. Yeah, no, for sure. right off the bat in the GP, obviously Verstappen getting the dub. But he had it was a little bit of hiccups early on, but he got it figured out. I thought for sure that the box by, well, who was it, Lando? I thought for sure maybe they had timed that up appropriately, and then he, you know, got loose coming out, and you could tell he wasn't going to make it. But if he would have made it out, do you think Lando could have held Verstappen off this race?
Not on those tires. That first lap, he probably would have got him. I mean, it would have been a prey to just keep up and keep the DRS. If he stayed in the DRS after that lap, yeah, I think he was just really a faster car. I mean, you saw earlier on in the race, he went up by like 12 seconds, I think.
Lando?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact time, it was a good chunk.
Right,
McLaren was the quickest car on the track.
Like, right before the safety car, he was building a good amount of time on Max, for sure.
He was Max Verstappen. Yeah. He was Max Verstappen at the beginning of the season. Sure. That's how much of a gap. It was just unreal.
Yeah. Do you guys know when you box, do they keep those, the next set of tires or whatever, do they heat those up as well or keep those at a certain temp, you know?
Yeah, all the tires that are like...
are they? Okay.
In the pits or under warmers.
You can only do so much, though, really.
Well, right, because that's what, you know, I think the commentators may have even mentioned, I can't even remember, but when Lando was coming out and he, you know, broke loose a little bit, obviously he was just trying to push it probably more than he should to try to get out in front of Max, but... is that maybe an issue where the tires just obviously didn't have an opportunity to actually get warmed up enough?
I think the pit lane was just still super wet compared to the rest of the track, and the pit exit was also super, super wet. So, like, we saw Lando, like you said, kind of fishtail a little bit, and then Max went right past him. That was just a case of he's on slicks driving on, a wet portion of the track. It's going to be a tough – and also his tires aren't warmed up, so even if it was a dry track, he would have had to fight Max at least a little bit. But yeah, that wet track definitely gave it to Max.
I think it was entirely it was just wet. But
because he was 20 seconds ahead going into the
yeah, because Max had pitted. But right. do you think so? The curious thing I thought was, do you think he waited? I felt like he waited too long. I think he shouldn't have done that next lap. He should have just pitted and then came out.
Lando.
Yeah, I think he did one lap too many. Yeah,
it was the opposite of what happened to Verstappen in Miami. Yeah. You know, it was like, but it wasn't that like he pitted too late. It was like when he got past the pit exit, they hadn't actually called the virtual safety car yet, or the actual safety car. It was still virtual, so he was just trying to hit lap delta. And if they wouldn't have, if they would have called it just a second earlier, they would have put him in.
But those are just, you're talking about two different times though. Because you're talking about in the initial where he got caught behind and he got caught behind the safety car and couldn't. I'm talking his second pit.
I mean in the second one. Albon crashed.
But the second one, he was on the inters and just trying to gain speed. And then he did another lap. And then because he went a lap longer and pitted. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep.
Yeah, that was when he spun on the... track.
Gotcha.
That was after the initial safety car where Lando missed the pit and then got screwed over, and the same thing in Miami happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was back in first because he was putting out crazy laps on the inters to where he might have had a chance to still come out in first and ahead of Max, but like they had him go another lap and the track was so dry it just didn't make any sense.
He was trying to go for an overcut and I think what they were really hoping was what happened to him after coming out of the pits is that it would take longer for them to warm up and maybe he would get some sort of advantage, but yeah, it didn't work out that way.
For sure. Well, we'll touch back on Lando and Piastri here in a second, but staying with Red Bull, obviously, I know I have not much to say about Max this race, you know, typical stuff, but what about Sergio? Again, going back to your point that you've already mentioned about the quality of him signing that new deal, and then, not only did he smash his vehicle up, but he's now received a 3-grid penalty for next race.
I mean, you said typical stuff from Max. Can we not start saying this is typical stuff from Checo?
100%. I mean, at this point, 100%, I think you can, which, again, is awkward to talk about after the extension.
I'll stay quoted on this. I think in the beginning, I think episode 1 or 2 that we released from this season, I said that he will not be in the top 5.
I think I do remember you saying that. I can't remember what episode it was. You saying in the driver's standings.
Yeah,
right?
He will not finish in the top 5, and I think that's
the way it's going. You might not be wrong.
Yeah, he's always struggled in Canada. It's like his worst track on the grid.
But just like over the last couple races, too. Like, I get this race kind of really sucked for him, but the last couple races, now you're giving him a 3-grid penalty that probably puts him out of the top 10 based on how he's performing. I don't know. It's going to take another street race.
Fast car at Spain, though. He might be able to at least.
But, I mean, even like you were saying, he only has 3 street races left. Is that correct? I think you said.
I think there's more than 3. I'd have to look at the...
I thought there was 3, but, like, let's say even if there's 3, something's got to click, something's got to build momentum, something's got to build confidence in him again. Is it the next street track, and how long until that next one is?
It's not the next 3 races, I know that.
So, with Checo's little accident, was it the team orders to have him... Yeah. Try to bring the car back? Okay, so
they were trying to prevent a safety car.
100%. That's what, 100%. So you can't fault them for that.
No, the 3-place grid penalty, that's on Red Bull. That's not on Checo.
No, yeah. 100%. You know, it's obviously on Checo stuff falling off.
Putting himself in a place where his car was banged up, where he had to pit.
Of course.
I mean, you're fighting for... He was trying to fight for 17th. Like, what are you doing?
He spun and went backwards into the wall, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, not much else to talk about Checo other than, I guess... you know, we'll see what he does in Spain. I mean, he's got to have a bounce back race, you know, at a track that Red Bulls can do very well at, I would imagine. He kind of needs it personally.
Mercedes is going to do pretty well. We'll talk about that later.
Well, let's just roll right into it. The Mercedes this weekend, did they have any upgrades coming into this race that we know of? Like,
not that I know.
That was like huge, no. Life changing.
They had them coming into Monaco, actually.
Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
They had the upgrades going into Monaco, but Monaco's, like I said, it's a time trial. It's how you qualify. So they didn't get the qualifying, so they couldn't actually show the car's like potential and performance.
Well, when we were chatting too, you were saying that the upgrades were more for the fast corners, correct?
Yeah, they were more for the high-speed corners. Because
yeah.
That's where the Mercedes downfall the last two, maybe even 3 years, is high-speed corners. They just cannot perform at the high-speed corners of all the other cars, the top cars on the grid.
Where McLaren's been amazing the last couple of years.
Even Aston. Yeah. Aston's been substantially better than Mercedes in the high-speed corners every year, the last 2 years. It's insane, actually.
I mean, they had something else this weekend, at least in this race, it seemed a little better.
Not a lot of high-speed corners.
It's not as high-speed.
It's not a lot of high-speed corners. That's the thing about Canada. It's really, like, there's the DRS zone, so there's a lot of potential for overtaking. But, like, high-speed corners, and even, you know, with it being wet pretty much half the race, you didn't get to even see the full potential of what car can do.
For sure.
You're talking about the Mercedes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If the race was dry, does Mercedes still finish where they did?
I
mean, it's hard to say, right? I mean, we can go and throw these...
I think so.
All the time,
I was surprised with how much of a fight it was for Hamilton against Alonso for as long as it was.
Yeah,
with
same.
How good Russell looked in that car, that surprised me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Hamilton came out and said after the race that this was his worst race he's ever raced, and then he continued
worst race
to
in
say,
Canada.
Worst, well, what was it? One of the I'm sorry, not ever race. One of the worst races I've driven is what he said. Because
he's still
pretty
good.
I know. Well, like, I know. Obviously,
he had pace.
Obviously, finishing P4 is still pretty solid.
And he had the fastest lap, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and George were going back and forth.
Yeah.
With the fastest lap.
He was just disappointed because he knew they had the opportunity to win the race, which, you know, Max still drove away with it to a point, but it's still not that gap that we're used to seeing this season. But I mean, it was fun to watch George and Lando just battle it out.
It was fun. It's fun and also sad to see them do so well. They're pretty much their first race of the year. They've done really well. And both of the drivers be pretty disappointed with third and fourth. Because, I mean, you know, Russell got pole, but he was also, you could see it in his face, like in the cool down room and on the, like before the podium, you know, he couldn't keep up with Max and Lando a little bit. Or maybe the strategy just wasn't right for the time.
I don't even
he
think there was a strategy thing.
He owned that about turns.
Because he led a good amount of the mm-hmm. first like portion of that race.
Well, he also said after the fact, he was like, there was two or three times where I messed up in corners and I cost myself that race.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
That's why he was more upset.
He definitely had, and he got called to the stewards after the race and they just called it a race against it. And I think
as it should have been
the very last corner of the race. Yeah.
No, but I mean,
that's how he lost P2.
Mm-hmm.
Was that slip up there allowed Lando to get through and then you're not going to catch him once he's by.
Right. Right. No, I just lost my train of thought now. But well, yeah,
and then at the end, it's tough with Hamilton on the hards to like. Obviously, Russell's gonna get back by him, which is kind of tough because Hamilton, you know, like we just said, Hamilton did have good pace. So it would have been interesting to see if he had a better tire to try to catch up to Lando.
Yeah, I was really surprised that they switched them because like George had the hards went to mediums. Lewis had the mediums, went to hards. I figured they would throw a new set of mediums on Lewis.
I feel like that's always what Mercedes does, though.
They always
switch. Yeah. It's like they're throwing all their money at one. At this point of the season with how low you are on points, you need to throw all of them at both.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? A good point. 100%. Why is that? Why do you think they're just trying to test different things all the time, different strategies all the time, or is it like tailored to each driver specifically?
I think, as far as tire management goes, to be completely honest, I think it's entirely based on where they finish at in the qualifying. I think that's where they're basing it off of and what they're thinking of. But either way, I don't think, like, it just, I don't know, it just makes more sense to go hard. I don't know, with it being wet, being that race, I feel like they had to kind of bank on, and we'll talk about Haas here, obviously, in a second, because I have some things to say, but I feel like they should have been banking more almost on the carnage, if you will. right?
Yeah, and it might have been like a tire limitation that they didn't have a new set of mediums for Lewis because Lewis was on the mediums. Like, you only have a certain allocation, and if you use as meant, it's X amount in like practice and qualifying. You could always throw on a used set, but you know, you're better off with a new set of hards than a used set of mediums.
Well, yeah, but
I would think so.
Yeah, well, I hear that, but they could have switched that.
Well, he already did because he started with the inners and went to the medium.
That's right. Yeah.
But I think what I'm talking more so about is the going from medium to hard to medium.
Yeah. You would think that, and I think they did that, they were trying to gauge what the better tire is to get them out there at that point because it was the first slick they put on after the inners.
Oh, so you're just saying that it would make sense to go back with another medium.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, all in all, great showing from Mercedes, something that I know I didn't expect to see this weekend. And obviously our podium predictions, I don't think anybody had a Merck in there.
No, why would you? Why would you? That'd be a good bet to win, though, if you had you placed a little
Russell
on the podium.
I wouldn't have made that bet.
So. Only a true Mercedes fan would.
Right. It was probably Lewis.
Lewis.
Since we touched on Lando and Russell, let's just head right into McLaren real quick just to bring them up again. Obviously, Lando being pretty disappointed with the second place. But I mean, all in all, another great drive from Lando, another consistent drive from Lando. I don't know. I'm not trying to compare because obviously two different cars, two different drivers. But he's starting to show us like kind of what Charles was showing us a couple years back, just with the consistency, you know. He's starting to get more consistent podiums.
He's a mainstay on the podium.
I'm here for it.
So I think this switch the both sides, kind of like we talked about last episode. I think this again shows what's his name? Piastri. This kind of does show like his experience a little bit. Right? This is more and more showing his experience coming through in these later races where, you know, there's so much battling and so much carnage going on, right? But as far as Norris, this is why people love Norris, I think. Like, afterwards, he was like, you got me in Miami. You know, I got him in Miami. Just make, you know, it's fair. All is fair. It's just, I think this is why people love Norris. He's so fun to watch. He's one of those guys that's just impossible to hate.
He's super straight with it, too. Yeah. Like, if he's had a bad day, he'll tell you, like, yeah, it was a bad day. We're not where we should be. But knowing that he says that, like, he's straight with us. And hearing him say, like, the car's performing well, though, so we can fight for it, that's super promising for future races.
Right, and he's, like, he actually said, like, I look forward to every track now because it seems like we're performing. Like, that's not something that was said earlier in the
season. Definitely not. And back to whoever said, you know, he's been super consistent, he's the last person on the grid to have a point in every single race this year.
Who's the other?
Charles was going into this.
Oh, he's the last one remaining.
Yeah, Charles hadn't finished outside of top four going into this race.
Yep.
Well, wow. With that, I mean, Oscar finishing fifth. I don't want to like down credit Oscar, but just to keep things moving, obviously finishing P5, another great drive for McLaren as a whole. But we'll just go right into the Ferraris and Charles missing points and Sainz doing whatever. I can't remember who was involved with the Sainz thing, if it was Albon or whatever.
Yeah.
But what the hell happened to Ferrari this at Canada? Like, I don't...
It's a replay for Leclerc, right? The engine failures, was it?
Yeah, it was engine failures, but, like, he qualified P11.
No, but, yeah, but they were saying that he was losing half a second a lap.
That was in the race.
Yeah, for 20 laps.
That was in...
I get the qualifying, but even in the race, like, being in the Ferrari, he's climbing. He's not finishing out of the top 10 if he's not losing that much.
He was in P10 when the engine started going. Like, he was only able to gain one spot. The Ferraris just, they did not look like they had any pace this
weekend. Where did Carlos quali? You remember off the top of your head?
I can check real quick.
But it was 11-12.
11-12. Gosh.
And I mean, they were 2/10 of a second off that Q2 pace, too, to get into to break the top 10. It wasn't even like they were, like, close.
When did that switch flip? You know what I mean?
I think we're just looking too much into it. I think they're fine next race. I think it's back to business.
I do too. Yeah. I'm probably still putting Charles on my podium, actually.
Yeah.
Which seems wild after this race, but
I mean, he didn't qualify well, but for the most part, it was a car issue for Charles.
Sure. Yeah. And again, with it being wet, the first 30 laps of the race, 40 laps of the race, or whatever, things are just gonna be different. I mean, almost unpredictable, for lack of better terms. You know what I mean?
The first 10 to 15 were just soaked.
Pure, just wild. I mean, we saw K-Meg. I mean, we'll get into it. Just just wildness. But yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really have anything else to say about the Ferraris. The only note I literally put in there, as you guys saw, just says yikes. So it's just a bad race, you know, probably one that they can just wash their hands of and hope for the best next week.
But it's another, like, it is just kind of like whatever. I think we're back to normal business next week for Ferrari. But as far as, like, the points and Verstappen taking first, that's huge. And them, like, actually inching up to Red Bull.
Ferrari?
Yeah, for the constructors.
Yeah, for sure.
It's such a big jump now.
For sure.
When they're slowly starting to tighten that gap and you have Checo out of the top 10 again. So now it's like, okay, now we can make that closer or something. Yeah. It sucks. Yeah. I hate to see it. I don't want Red Bull to win the constructors.
Even if they were to move up to like a 6-7 in that race, right? Yeah. It just narrows that margin that they took away from.
Yeah. Give them a couple points. You know?
How far back? I know we're not doing a full, you know, update on constructors. How far back is McLaren at this point from Ferrari? Still a good chunk, I'd imagine.
40 points.
Yeah. 40 points? Okay. And how far is Ferrari from Red Bull?
49.
I mean, that feels weird. I mean, that's closer than we're used to seeing at this point.
But
you got to
think about it. It could have been a lot closer to the 24 if it wasn't for the 25 was zero.
100%.
You know, it's crazy.
100%.
Like, even if they just were to knock 10 points, it's 32, it's 39 points. That just seems so much better than 49 or more.
So much more attainable.
Yeah.
just to see, just as a fan that isn't particular to a team, just to see what would happen, what changes heading into this week. Probably nothing, you know, everybody's just looking at each race individually, but I don't know, that would have been wild to see. Huge opportunity miss for Ferrari.
At the same time, though, like the way this season's unfolding, I think there's gonna be more opportunities. The question is if they can capitalize on them.
That's it Ferrari, if they can capitalize on opportunities. Aston, finishing about where we kind of expect them to see, including Stroll, hitting that top 10, probably a couple spots up than where we're used to seeing them or where we'd expect to see them because of the Ferraris.
Obviously, to see Alonso, maybe. I don't know about Stroll.
He still beat out, you know.
Nobody.
I mean, everybody else in that top 10 is also not really.
I mean, he beat out exactly. He beat out exactly who he should have beat out, I suppose.
Yeah, his car is exactly where it should.
Right. So, not much that we can really say about that.
Alonso looked great early fighting with Hamilton.
He did.
He did. Yeah. No, he did. And why did they track off a little bit? I mean, obviously, that car's not going to keep up with
McLaren. They just don't have the pace.
Yeah, they're not.
Once it dried up, and they were throwing mediums and hards.
Alonso just let them by.
True, again, the battle. The battling was again when it was wet.
Yeah.
And it's just pure unpredictability.
If it's pure skill and the rain and just the line, I mean, Alonso's going to be able to fight with you wherever he's at.
Legend versus legend. I mean, it was still kind of fun. It was entertaining.
It's always fun seeing those two go head to head.
But moving right along, Alpine taking advantage of two missing Ferraris in the top 10.
That's three big points for that team, man.
Oh, 100%. No doubt. I mean, we still saw Ocon. Cutting the lawn, you know, a couple times, I think, actually. He even went flying over the curb.
Yeah, Ocon's going to Ocon.
Yeah. But
I am curious. Ocon. I was actually having like a very heated debate with a friend who I watched these races with.
You get heated, Joe?
I did. Okay, so I get heated in the comfort of my own home, on Discord and on the internet, you know, where I can't see my
face.
Goose. Yeah, exactly. those words were thrown around. I'm curious. Who do you think is the better driver between the two? Gasly or Ocon?
Got to ride with my boy.
Oh, Gasly.
Got to ride with my boy, Gasly.
No, but we're all Gasly fans.
I agree. And I unfortunately think that on my end, I agree. I think Gasly's the better driver, but I also think it's because I dislike Ocon so much.
I think from a talent perspective, I think Gasly has him.
I think if Ocon didn't mess up so much and he wasn't so aggressive, they're probably pretty evenly stacked with each other. I don't know.
I would agree with that, but you have to take that into account.
100%.
You know, that's a part of the talent, is not being able to control that.
Yeah.
Why do you dislike Ocon so much?
I just don't
want to make you mad.
This conversation is getting too silly.
You know what? I'm going to hop on Discord right now.
I think it's just, you know, kind of his path. And obviously, I don't think DTS really painted a great picture of him either. So maybe that's a little bit why, too. But like,
I don't think DTS painted a great picture of a lot of people.
I mean, Monaco didn't
have
paint
their
a great light. Yeah, 100%. Sure. They 100% have their favorites.
Rick, Lando.
Yep. Yeah, I just think, he feuds with every single teammate he has. Like, he didn't get along with Alonso very well. I think he was okay with Ricardo, maybe, but I don't really think
do you think he has a seat next year?
No. Ocon?
Oh, no, he doesn't. We already know he doesn't.
Yeah, but do you think he gets picked up?
No, in general. So, okay.
No chance. I heard Haas.
I'm going to give a callback to this because there is another part of the argument where, like, I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be, like, a safe bet. But I will bring him up again when we start talking about what seats are left, specifically, like, the Mercedes seat. And like who Whoa. Their options are. Right?
Oh yeah, we'll touch on that.
I'm not saying he deserves it.
That's
or like he should be there.
He's Toto's boy.
Like, that's what I'm thinking. So we'll,
I
we'll,
even, I
let's
never
talk
even
about
thought
that. Let's
about
talk about that.
That
when we get to news. But I'll hold it for a little bit just because we have a lot of seat discussion to talk about this week for sure.
Well, let's just touch.
Sorry
on...
Sorry to derail. By the way,
no, that's okay. I'm not gonna get mad. Let's just go right into the V. Let's just go.
Are you mad at me?
let's just go right into V carbs real quick. Obviously, we mentioned Danny Ric into points. Kind of doing his best Yuki impersonation with Yuki finishing 14th this week.
He had a spin near the close to the end of the race, right? That got him. Further down or something like that.
Yeah.
Some kind of issue.
Yeah. Something like that, which, you know,
yeah, he spun on like three laps before the end.
Okay. Okay. So that's, where was he before the spin? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Was he in points? I wouldn't imagine.
Yes, he was. Listed, he drops from points after going super wide and spinning.
What
lap
was that? I see you have
lap 66.
Ah, dang. Okay, yeah. So literally right. Yeah.
What
is
it? He was in 10th, I think. I think there was still one person between him and Rick,
yeah.
Danny.
Yeah, he was definitely still in points, and then he dropped off.
So he almost kept his consistency going, but... So we'll see a little bit of bounce back from Yuki, maybe. A little closer action next week, or this coming
weekend.
I
think it's going to be a good battle between Stroll and the two V-carbs going forward.
Just in general?
I do. I mean, I like what I've seen out of Danny Ric the last. He seems like he's kind of getting back to form. Now let's see if he continues it. That's the thing with him is the inconsistencies. But
do you think form is as big of a deal? Like, obviously, if getting in form and being in form is used a lot in football. But do you think it matters as well in racing? Just pretty much any racing, level of racing, I'd imagine.
I think what it matters most is the mental form more so than like the physical form, right? Like anybody can get into that physical shape. These level of drivers don't get out of that
mental,
physical shape. So like the physical, like the mental, just actually like buying into where he's at and like showing that he can actually still race and buying him to himself.
You know what? That's why I'm so bad at the game. My mental form is never there. Just can't quite get it. All right, who wanted to talk about Haas? Somebody really wanted to. Whoa.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Haas. I have some, like, I liked the strategy. You're that team, you're down low. I love going on the West to start and just flying through and just racing and just flying by everybody.
And
like, K-Mag
was, I mean, he was taking advantage of his
Unreal.
Opportunities.
It was so fun to watch.
And he also, like, I mean, if you compare him to Hulkenberg, he looked fast. Compared to Hulkenberg, just the lap time he was putting out and everything.
Hulk was doing things. He was putting in work, too. He got up to P9.
Just a climb, though, out of K-Mag.
It was nothing like K-Mag's.
Yeah.
Like,
so here's my issue, though. If you're doing that, you're banking on something, right? You're doing that move as a risky move already if everybody else then enters. Why bail out so soon to get your tires changed to an enter?
Oh,
why not
to.
Wait?
They had to. They were.
But you're in fourth, at least. I think then at least, if you're in fourth right there, right? And you wait. At the end of the day, they didn't finish in points, right? The car wasn't keeping up. If you're in fourth and you wait and just pray for the safety car, and then it comes, and then you're at sixth or seventh, at least then you're fighting somewhere where it matters.
Yeah.
Why not taste that? You're already taking a chance. Why not keep that chance going?
But to be like the opposite of that then, right? It's like, so let's say they go four more laps. K-Mag's not holding fourth. He's probably dropping to sixth or seventh, and then they're forced to pit because there's nothing left on the tire. They drop to 12th, 13th, 14th when they come out. If they would have had a three-second stop, not even a quick stop, just a three-second stop, K-Mag comes out in eighth place. And then he's on a fresh inner when everybody else is on used inners. He could maybe start to climb again. But they had it was like 6.9 or like an eight-second stop. That 2-3 seconds that early in the race, nobody's gained that gap between the drivers to like where that matters.
I just feel like at that rate, you got
to
commit to it.
But I see what you're saying. There's obviously a strategy involved there. Yeah. If you're going to push it that hard and he succeeded at it, okay, now what? It's like it happened and they were successful with it, and then they were like, oh, damn, it actually worked.
So even if he dropped to 9 or 10 and they had the safety car come through, he could have got tires and ended up in that position.
I don't think they were banking on a safety car. I think you're putting too much into that, right? Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I think you're right. I don't think they were banking on a safety car. I think they were banking on it being wet for much longer and them having the newer inters around everyone else having more use. So when everyone else has to pit, maybe they're pitting for slicks and then they pit at the same time and have that advantage. I wrote Mag made up 10 places, and then unfortunately when he did go on to inters, it was just Haas strategy and they biffed the pit stop. But I definitely see like why not just stay on.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. I totally get
especially
it.
Especially when you're gonna do the move, commit.
Yeah,
commit to the move.
But I think they did commit. I think they like strategy wise, it worked exactly like they planned.
But didn't they had Hulkenberg stay out like another 6-7 laps?
They did have Hulk stay out a bit longer. That's correct.
But then it's the two different strategies, like the Mercedes view, you know, maybe two different strategies for him.
Just, if you want to be aggressive, use it with the guys in fourth.
But I don't know why
you don't have the car to stay there.
And it's no offense to K-Mag.
They have the best radars. I get they thought it was going to stay wet longer. Maybe sure, I don't like sure. that. I don't like that argument because sure. they had the radars. They see everything. They have the top tech there.
And if you're gonna use two different strategies, why? No offense to K-Mag, but why pick K-Mag over Hulkenberg? You know what I mean?
Because of where he qualified.
Oh, he started above. I think K-Mag started.
He started up there.
K-Mag started 14th, Nico started 19th. So Nico got up to P9. He gained 10 spots just like K-Mag did, just not as pretty.
So yeah, why did they leave
Dude, it
out there?
That's, it reminded me the whole time I was thinking that it's, you see like the clip that gets run through on Instagram of Kimi in his Lotus years where he started like P16 and then got up to like P4 before like the end of the first lap. It was that clip just kept running through my mind as K-Mag's just going on the complete wet portion of the track and just flying by these guys, taking outsides of corners around people. I'm just like, this guy is insane.
I hate it. Especially how all of that so climatic, and then it just freaking.
I know. And all of that with all those points on his license. He hits one car.
Seriously risking
it. He hits one car. He's out for a race.
I forgot about all that. Yeah.
Like the cojones on that guy, man.
Is he re-signed?
No.
He's just sending it. This is last year. He's sending it.
He's told he's not coming back. Yeah.
Behrman's taking that seat as soon as he loses that license.
Oh, my God. With that, let's roll right into news, Kev. Oh, right back at it. Didn't even see you there. Kidding, that's messed up. Anyway, let's just head right into news. Obviously, FIA adjusts the minimum age for Antonelli, or is it confirmed that they have now changed the age, or they're going to? Yeah, they've confirmed now.
It's 17.
So now that's pretty much his spot locked up in the Mercedes next year. You think, or what?
Well, I mean, they didn't need to change it for that. This opens up a way for him to get into FP1 and right? 2 this year.
Yeah, which we're thinking would be for Sargent, I'd imagine.
No, just FP1 and 2. So FP1 and 2, a couple races throughout the year, like the reserve drivers actually just go and race in FP1. They don't race, but they get on the track.
They get some time in the car. Yeah. Yeah. Do we think he still could replace Sargent before the end of the year just to get some actual Grand Prix experience?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you got to lose right now if you're Williams?
Soon. It'll happen soon.
Not much.
Paying Logan, I assume it's not paid per race. It's a like yearly whatever, contract. I would only imagine. But I think Williams isn't the one footing the bill.
I think it'd probably be after the summer break.
After the summer break,
I would say so too. It gives Kimi
comes in
to make the sergeant.
Yeah. Do you guys know when the next race is? They are allowing or they are doing the reserve drivers, because they haven't done it at all this year. Usually, I think it's only like two races a year.
They tried to do it with Jack Doohan at Alpine, I think, in Canada. Yeah, they did it for FP1 with him in Canada, but it was raining the whole practice session, so they didn't put him out. So he went out to do a practice start, and then they brought him back in, so he didn't do any running. But
so is Alpine that a team thing then? They just decide when they do it? Because last year it was like all of them did at the same time.
I know. Do all teams is it mandated? Have to do it? I think it might be. And then they just choose when they do it.
Or can you only do it so many times too, you think? Or could you do it every week and they just choose not to?
Hold on, I'm confused here. You're only allowed to... let the reserve driver drive in two races?
No, no, that's what I don't know. Because I think last year, I think it only happened twice.
Oh. I feel like you should be able to let him every race if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't see why there would be anything against that. I mean, you're only penalizing yourself by not giving your driver the, like, experience.
Yeah.
Unless it's Sergeant, but yeah.
Well, then you're really penalizing yourself.
He needs the experience.
Like, if it's, like, Lewis, I could see him passing up, but... Well, let's be honest, Lewis needs the experience in that car, too.
Yeah, two practice sessions the teams must provide to younger drivers each year.
This they must provide
This was a Google Gemini automated search, so that could be wrong, but...
So that's true. The minimum, though. So it seems like you could do that every race if you wanted to.
I think they have to do that. Oh, they have to allow these younger drivers to get into the car and do at least a practice session or two.
Does that count for Alpine, then, since they tried?
I would assume so. Yeah.
No, there's probably laps on
there.
No,
there probably has to be like
think
a...
so?
Yeah.
I would hope so, because that'd be kind of bogus.
That would suck for Jack Doohan.
The guy's like, Dad, you watching me?
Yeah, that's the other driver.
I just watched you pull right back off the track.
he's currently my teammate on F124 in my team.
Doohan?
Oh, Doohan, right. Jack Doohan. You couldn't afford anybody. You don't get much when you start.
Fair enough. While Joe looks at it, let's stay with Mercedes really quick, which I think Joe is actually going to bring up as a possible landing spot for Ocon as he's out at Alpine.
Okay, so this is kind of where the conversation went with this individual that I was having this heated argument with.
Call him out.
Talking about Michael. Yeah.
Michael.
So, okay, Mercedes, right? Where we know Antonelli is slotted for Mercedes at some point. There's like, what are the possibilities they put in a rookie like on his first year in F1 in a Mercedes, right? Or I think they should put him in a Williams for a year, get him like antiquated to F1 before getting him into a Merc. So like my whole view right now is, what are Mercedes' options? They have a seat they need to fill. Carlos probably isn't going to take it. At least they don't seem interested in him. Kimi definitely feels like who they should go for, but going with a rookie is dangerous, especially with a rookie who isn't doing like spectacular in his F2 season. He's not doing awful, but he's not doing like amazing.
He's not doing good,
right? Yeah. So what are their options? So that's where Ocon came from. Ocon and Toto have go way back. Toto got Ocon his job in Alpine. Like
Toto was his manager. I remember on DTS. Like exactly. Why I know that is from DTS.
He called up Renault at the time, and he was like, "Hey, get Ocon in there, get him a seat, right?" So do they put Ocon just because they know he knows how to drive an F1 seat, and they're like, you know what, let's get this kid one more year while we get Kimi into a Williams for a year, get him antiquated in. We know that Ocon is aggressive, but he's not going to crash all the time as Kimi might because he's new to the sport, right? Or is Kimi Antonelli going to be like a Piastri, right, where he comes in and he just kind of knocks out of the park almost immediately?
But like, I think if you're talking about Ocon going into that seat, if George Russell has any say, and at this rate I think he should, I don't think you want if you're Russell, you want to race with him,
right?
You'd rather have a young gun, one, because you want to be the stud on the team. And two, because like that just builds your stock as a race driver. If you have the Kimi next to you and you're helping him progress, I think that helps him. Kimi is good for George. And I think if George has a say, he wants Kimi. I think if George has Ocon, it's bad for George. If you've looked at Ocon's record and you're George, you're like, I don't want to race with this guy. I don't want to race next to him. If we're qualifying next to each other, it's a nightmare for me.
Right.
Those are two really interesting views, actually, because I could see both. I could see Ocon taking the seat for a year with the plan that you're going to put Antonelli in there in year two from now. And then maybe that slots Ocon right into Williams, or Ocon's gone out of F1 at that point. But if he does well,
and maybe,
then
and
you're
maybe
fine
Antonelli,
putting him in
maybe
Williams,
Antonelli just like isn't good, right? He just comes to F1 and he can't do it. Now they put him into last year's Merc, and they're reporting that he did good laps in last year's Merc. So
at what track?
So did Danny.
Probably Silverstone, I would imagine. Oh, yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
So did Danny Rick in the RB19.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
I mean, how much
does
that really
say?
Off that?
Yeah. What does
can
that
they
really
get
say?
Him on the sim? They can, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably where they're pulling all their information off, right?
Yeah.
Realistically, like that's. I feel like that's more a publicity and for show to put him in the last year's car. I feel like they're pulling all their real information off the sim for Kimi.
Do you think
for anybody?
Do you think Mercedes waits that long to see if then they make the change with Sargent, right? And now Sargent is racing for, or I'm sorry, Kimi's in for Sargent at Williams, And then based on that, do they then decide what they want to do with that second seat? Or is that too late for Mercedes at this point?
I mean,
that's months down the road from now we're talking about probably.
I think the biggest reason you put Kimi in that spot next year is so nobody else can the following year. If he's in a Williams, if you're Mercedes, why you put him in that seat next year? Mm. If he's in a Williams next year, who's to say Kimi's a shoot, just wants to go to Mercedes if Mercedes drops the ball and their development's not there for 2026?
Pulls a Piastri.
You're a lot more likely to stay with the team you're already on than when you're a contender, right? Sure. If you're on a Williams, obviously you're going to go to whoever would offer you better. That's of the top five. But, I mean, that's why I think
that afraid of losing
Mercedes
him,
is afraid of losing him, because a similar thing happened with Verstappen.
Sure.
They don't want to lose the young gun who's the prodigy of F1 for the next 10 years. You don't want to lose that potential.
So you think Kimi's in the Mercedes next year?
I do, because the other kicker here with that here as well, right? Let's say Kimi just epically drops the ball next year. So you go find whoever's... You in 2026 with the new regs, you go with the driver market that's going to be pretty open at the time as well, and you find that other driver. You got George locked down. So it's
George ain't going anywhere, yeah.
No, George's not going anywhere. So see what you got in Kimi. I think it only makes sense to put him in a Mercedes next year, to put him in a Williams, see what you got. I understand that point. See if he can perform at the F1 level. But that would be, I would understand that if there was a good person to put in the Mercedes seat. There isn't. Yeah, Carlos is not going there. If they can get science,
Carlos isn't the long-term plan for them, obviously.
And why would he be?
Right, right.
So, like, if you're Carlos, like, why would you go and sign that with that team that you're only going to have a spot, like, definitively for 1 year? Now there's a chance Kimi goes into Williams, messes up, and Carlos gets a long-term deal with Mercedes. But if Carlos were to go to Williams this year, sign a one-year deal, Kimi messes up at Mercedes.
I'm gonna hate that so much. Now he might
have a longer spot at Mercedes than if Kimi messes up.
Him going to Williams is like Bottas going to Sauber.
But I think that's probably the most likely case. I mean, I don't know if it's their team boss or whatever came out and said the number team one boss, target now is Carlos for Williams. And I mean, for Carlos, it's just...
That's for every team, I think, right now. Every
team is number one target on the market.
of course. Yeah. But if you're Carlos, if you can't be in those arguably top four teams, right? Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren, Ferrari, like, then what? Then what? Then you take whatever you can get because you already had a deal already lined up or it was on the table and he decided not to sign it
coming up. I don't know. I haven't heard anything because there was like you had to make the decision by what race was it?
Monaco, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Monaco. It was before Monaco. What was the race before Monaco? Imola. They wanted an answer by Imola. I haven't heard anything since then. Whether Audi pulled the contract, obviously Carlos didn't accept.
Right. So that leads us into Carlos then, you know, obviously. Like, what are his options now? We talked about Ocon's options. What is Carlos' realistic options?
I feel like he's got to have the playing field right now. I still feel like, obviously, like, even if Audi, we said, you know, they have this amount of time until he's done, and then, like, Mercedes maybe just done with him. I think he's still, if he really wants to go anywhere, I think he can go anywhere. He might not get the same price he wanted to originally at the beginning of the season, but I still think he can go where he wants to go.
But maybe he's viewing it as like maybe sign a 1 year deal and then hopefully hit new regs and, you know, maybe he can be a player somewhere else.
But what if you're Carlos for that 1 year deal? Do you try to get a championship or do you just get the bag?
Well, no matter, he's not going to be able to sign with anybody.
There's one team that has the potential to do that, and that's Mercedes, and you're only getting a 1 year deal. Is it a shoe-in for a championship? No, but you have a hell of a lot better chance at any other team that has an opening.
Well, back on that then, is it even worth it for Mercedes to sign Carlos for a discount, right?
They'll do it.
1 year.
They've already come out and said they'll do it.
To risk losing Antonelli then, potentially? Is that worth it to Mercedes?
Well, I think so. If they can get Carlos, I think Carlos is
Carlos
the answer.
Carlos would compete in the Mercedes.
Because Carlos, so you put Carlos in the car next year, you have Carlos and George, that puts them in the best financial situation to go into 2026 because they are going to finish better in the constructor standings than you would assume Kimi and George would. Who knows? Kimi comes in and could win 15 races next year.
Think. Yeah, I think.
You know, is it going to happen? No.
Yeah.
Especially in a Mercedes, but.
For a team perspective, I definitely think that's the safest option for Mercedes to do because, like, you get him for 1 year, he doesn't cut it, get Antonelli in. But if he does cut it, maybe just keep Antonelli at Williams and keep, you know, the veteran of science.
Then you're losing Antonelli. There's no way Kimi, like with the Kimi's talent that he has right now and the potential, He's not in a contender after next year.
I mean, make him sign a contract that says you're with Williams for 1 year plus 1 year option. You get moved to Mercedes, maybe, right?
Why would he do that?
And that's saying if Antonelli got the Mercedes seat for next year or something?
No, Antonelli got Williams.
No. Oh, if Antonelli and got and if Williams. Si- if I'm Sainz sorry. Got, I thought you said if Sainz got Mercedes.
No, yeah. If Sainz got Mercedes and then Antonelli got Williams. I really, really hope that Sainz doesn't go to Williams because I feel like that's just... Well, that's what, just going to wear you in. I feel like that's like a, he ends the career.
Not well, a career what better ender, option but like is there? It's a poopy, it's you know?
What better option is there outside of obviously
right
Mercedes?
Now, Stake isn't good either, but long term, that gets turned into Audi, and that's like a perfect scenario, I think, for Carlos.
Potentially.
The Audi might be super bad, but like you have Carlos, his dad races Audis, right? And it just makes sense. I've built this like fantasy story in my head that I've been sticking to since I've learned that Carlos doesn't have the Ferrari seat. I think he needs to go to Stake for that Audi seat. But yeah, hearing that Williams has been, I mean, they've been all over social media, I feel like, talking about him. It's a little scary.
They want him.
Not going to lie.
And I mean, I think you look at Williams with an Albon Sainz pairing for at least a year. I mean, more than likely Carlos is going to sign a multi-year deal, whether he sticks to it or not is beside the point. But that's a damn good pairing for a mid-level team.
It's the best outlook Williams has had for a driver lineup for a minute.
You're fighting for 5-6 at that point with those two.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Especially Albon looks like he's gotten some pace these last couple of races.
Albon's been picking it up.
I mean, you get him a car underneath him. He's a dog.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I really wish he would have got that Red Bull seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how upsetting that Red Bull did that. And I hope it's to their demise.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, lead right into it. Okay, Checo obviously signed the deal.
I hope it's to their demise, dude. So I think we're going to see by the end of the year. I don't think he makes it to 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
I think after next year, maybe even mid-season, they're pulling that guy.
It's the team option. Yeah. The team can decide to sign him for another year.
I
don't know how
I thought
it
was a
2 year
deal with a 3rd year team option.
Oh, I thought it was a 2 year with the 2nd year being the option. I can double check real quick.
Yeah, double check.
Look that up.
I'm used to like NFL contracts and player options. Is that even a thing in F1? Is there a driver option or is it only team options that can extend you for that extra year?
They can't get rid of them after 1 year either way?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you sign them to a 2 year contract, you get rid of them after the first year, you still got to pay them for that 2nd year.
Yeah, I think they take that risk.
Depends on how much.
I'm saying no matter what the contract is, I don't think that he is there for 2 years.
Yeah.
No matter what the outcome is, no matter what the actual layout of the contract is, I don't think he's there for 2 years. I think it's dumb for them to do that. And it almost, because of social media, and again, it's social media, so we don't really know the full story, but because he seemed to be the one that was asking for the 2 year deal, and then they said, yeah, let's do it, kind of. That's what it looks like on the outside looking in. Because it looked like on the outside looking in, they wanted to offer him a 1 year
deal. And he was like, nah, he wasn't about that.
And he wants 2.
Yeah. And he finally got that.
Oops.
Oops.
Right?
Driver option. It's a 2 year deal.
So it looks like Checo, though. It looks like Checo got the upper hand on that deal. And that makes Red Bull look dumb.
But you're saying that you don't think, even though it's a 2 year deal, you don't think he even makes it those 2 years. Just
no.
That Red Bull take a bite. But who would you put in there to pay? Hey, you got to also pay Sergio.
Oh, wait, hold
whoever.
On here.
Whoever that's not Checo.
That's a big oops by them. They just lost themselves potential of winning a couple more constructors by not putting a better driver in that seat. If you want to compete with Hamilton and Leclerc, if that car keeps getting better, or McLaren.
Or McLaren,
when those drivers keep getting better, you cannot have Checo in that second seat. It'll not pan out the next couple years good.
So heading into next season while these two keep going on the keyboards. Mm-hmm. You're thinking that Max and Checo, you know, you got Leclerc, Lewis, and then obviously the two McLaren fellas. Going into next season, do you have Red Bull winning the constructors next season?
No.
No.
They're going to have a tough time winning it this year.
No, for sure. And we're Checo. Already seeing that for
with
sure.
With Checo, they're going to have a tough time winning it. And I think that it's going to be one of those moves by the end of the year this year. Everybody's going to be like, Red Bull, what were you thinking?
And now that brings up the question of Max that we won't even touch on today because it'll be way too long of a conversation. But now you bring up the Max situation. Does Max end up departing?
So for clarification on Checo's contract, it was a 1+1. So we don't know what that means because the team's not going to release that information. Lame. But it's a 1 year deal for sure. It's a 1+1 is how Horner said it. That's all open for interpretation.
But Horner literally said
Horner came out and said it. So there's clauses within that.
So he's here for 1 year though.
Hey, 2026, a new driver, right?
They also mentioned Yuki's contract extension, and Horner came out and said afterwards that they are all Red Bull drivers.
Oh,
that's interesting.
The play on words there, I think, is like some
that's super
like
swap interesting. Season. So yeah, do you think he? I mean, so I feel like Checo's probably racing most of next year, no matter what. But when 2026 comes around, yeah, maybe they swap him over to AlphaTauri for Yuki or something like that. That'd be crazy.
That would be. I mean, at the moment, Danny Rick's still there too.
I think Danny's there next year.
I think Danny's going to
get pretty
the
much
extension.
All but confirmed.
Yeah. Which sucks because I want to see Liam in the car, but I also like Danny too. It's just I don't know.
The toughest thing for me about F1 is the amount of just same faces you see. And yeah. I love Danny Rick, yes, but like it's right. tough to see the same faces every year. Like mm-hmm. you get maybe two new faces every year, but the
maybe,
rest of them, you know,
if you're lucky.
Yeah, and you know the rest of them, so it's kind of tough. And I get like they bounce teams and stuff, but
maybe two new colors with like people switching teams, but two new faces, like that's just a huge rarity.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting next year because if you look at like the new faces that would come in next year, who would they be? There's really only two candidates, and it's Kimi and Ollie Bearman.
And Liam and Jack Doohan. I mean, reserve drivers.
Jack Doohan, yeah.
They're not like new faces, but you know.
No. Different drivers on the grid. I didn't think of Alpine because Alpine, I think it only makes sense if it was Doohan and Gasly next year. Mm-hmm. I don't think Liam has a seat next year. I think that's done with.
Yeah, I think so too.
Bearman deserves one, obviously, with Haas.
Bearman sure should get one.
Bearman's
not doing good in F2 right now.
Yeah, but I think he's kind of he's proved himself a little bit. I think he's probably fine.
I mean, he did get points in his first F1 race. That's
Yeah. It was in a Ferrari. But, I mean, he's never driven an F1 car before, so... Or at least at that level.
So, obviously, we've already mentioned Yuki staying at V-Carb then, too.
It was like... Yeah, it was... Wasn't it like a three...
I did not put down what it was.
Oh, no, it's 1 year. So, Yuki's only there guaranteed for 2025. So, yeah, he's still...
And then you got the plus one on Sergio.
And Danny Rick will probably get the same deal 1 year.
I think
so. Too.
Yeah.
They're not going to give him two.
I mean, I feel like last time we were talking, I think we were all saying a different tune that Danny's probably gone, right? So maybe rest of the season, maybe this was just like a good race for him and he just kind of starts messing up again and we're back on our old tune of like he's not keeping him.
When was the last time they had teams switch drivers? Was that when Red Bull pulled Gasly out and put in
Albon
or whatever? Or did
like
they pull
mid-season?
Albon and put Gasly? I can't remember.
Yeah. They pulled them both, right? One season and one literally the next season.
Who was the driver that got kicked, though? Who was the driver that lost their seat? It was Albon. A Red Bull driver that...
Well, Gasly was with Ricardo first, right?
And but then did Albon start the year as a Red Bull driver?
No,
I don't think Albon started the year as a Red Bull driver.
I know, I just opened
Gasly got moved up to Red Bull after Danny left. Mid-season, Gasly got kicked for Albon.
That's right,
Albon
Gasly started the year.
Albon stayed for a year and a half and then got kicked for Checo, and Albon was out a seat for that year, and then he moved to Williams the next year after that. So Gasly went back down to AlphaTauri and stayed there. He didn't lose a seat
was there
at
for
all.
A minute.
But Albon did not lose a seat mid-season. He gained the seat and then lost it after the second season he was in.
Oh, so Albon didn't lose it during
that a possibility for next season then? I know, and then we'll move on because we don't want to stay
100%
on it.
I 100% like, think so. That's
Checo for Yuki?
That's where I think that subliminal, like, Horner saying that they're all Red Bull drivers. I mean, in that tune, he's also including
that. Ricardo in that conversation?
Ricardo wasn't brought up in that conversation. So in that tune, you would think the RBs, whoever those two are Red Bull drivers. It's not just Yuki of those, but... It's interesting. I agree with you, though, Cole. I don't think Checo finishes the year next year as a Red Bull driver.
By the end of the year, we're all going to be... The last podcast, we're all going to be laughing that they even made that deal.
I'm already laughing.
I'm already laughing. Yeah, I think it was silly.
I was surprised to see it.
Harder, though, dude.
I was 50-50. I figured we'd see at least another one. Because who else are they going to put in it other than Carlos?
Science.
What are we talking about? Science. I know.
What are we
other than Carlos,
about, right?
Who would it have been, right? Nobody. So if they know they can't afford Carlos or don't want to afford Carlos,
then you
sign Sergio like they did.
I would have gotten Albon over Checo, too.
Another spot up there.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been nice.
Science. I would have given Bottas a spot before Checo.
I wouldn't have done that. Give Yuki or Danny a chance. Yuki and Danny are finishing.
Bottas is in a bad situation.
Yuki and Danny are giving are finishing higher than Checo when Checo's in the better car. Like it's just it doesn't. I don't know. It's such a bad.
Yeah, but we also gotta look at this from a larger lens though, and look at the whole year.
Yeah,
Because where's Checo in comparison to Danny and Yuki in the overall grand scheme of things?
The driver points.
Okay.
Like, he's still fifth.
Yeah. Two different cars. But
this point slightly. Was brought up. Yeah, this point was brought up to me by someone else that I was talking to about this last race and also talking about the contract with. Do you think Red Bull even, like, do you think they're even really, like, trying super hard to get that constructors, or are they just focusing solely on Max getting driver?
I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, they want both.
I think they want both. They want the money, brother. With getting, and that's kind of the point I brought up as well. But with giving Checo that 1 year, one plus 1 year, like, they're not focusing on a team effort if they signed him like that, right?
Well, last year they even said with Checo, they were like, he's going to have to step up his performance if they want to see him in a car next year. They said that about Checo last season because of the fact entirely around the constructors. I think it's the same thing this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're honestly probably banking on Max a little too much this year. I think it's going to not pan out for them well, and it's going to be a big change next year. But I think I just blanked on his name, the president.
Horner.
I think Horner wants both. He wants the constructors and the drivers
Does. Oh, for
just
sure
the
he
same.
Does. For sure he does. Speaking of leaving Red Bull and all that, Newey, obviously, we know is out. He's now very strongly rumored to be going to Ferrari on a 3-year deal.
3-year, $105 million. Oops. That guy's
change.
Uh-huh.
So tell me this, like, with Red Bull not having to pay this dude, how can't they afford Sainz?
That's a good point.
Do you think that's why they didn't want to pay Sainz, though?
No, I don't think Red Bull was even coming close to paying him this much money.
Yeah.
Newey? I don't think Red Bull was paying him anything remotely close to $34 million a year.
Sorry. I was thinking,
I think Ferrari's going all in on, like, obviously Charles is their boy, but, like, Lewis is sniffing Mick. We could see Lewis coming back strong.
How can a Ferrari afford Lewis and Newey?
Yeah, bro.
It's Ferrari,
they're going all
brother.
In,
they,
man.
They have,
chips
they,
are
they,
in,
they
brother.
Have cost caps, right? They don't have cost caps for personnel. They have cost cap for like driver improvements.
Don't they have cost caps for drivers, too?
I don't think that factors into
it.
They have cost caps for personnel, but maybe not drivers. I'm pretty sure they have it for personnel, I think.
I don't think that factors into it. Because remember when Aston stole 75% of Red Bull or Mercedes, whatever it was, team? Like, that couldn't have come cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
So it's like, I think the cost cap is, like, solely to do with upgrading the car and, like, which limitations you can place on the car itself.
And it also, I just feel like that wouldn't make sense if they did that anyway, because I mean, if you're the top guy like Newey, let him rip.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what Ferrari's doing, if this is true, is they are banking on the new regs with having Newey under belt.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It does include team personnel, excluding the drivers. So
excluding the drivers
are out, but yeah, team personnel. So that's still $105 million for one of their personnel.
Good chunk.
Maybe he isn't included. This has most team personnel salary, so maybe he isn't included.
Well, there's probably a loophole they can get away with it. Like, oh, he's working on a hypercar.
Yeah. You can give him a title. You could they could do some stuff like NFL does. They could change up the salary, make it, you know, benefit them. I feel like there's so many ways you could, like, just fluctuate it.
Sorry, I keep finding more and more. The cost cap does not include the wages of the three highest paid staff members.
What?
There you go.
There's a loophole.
Wow. There's a loophole.
Give him $100 a year.
As much as we can give him.
Wow.
Because we have the money and it won't matter. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's interesting crazy. How there's like that in there. You could literally have the three most expensive personnel members in the world.
And it doesn't count
and
against
still
your cap.
Build
unless
your team
you're
to the utmost capability.
Yeah, I mean, like, it all depends. And that's kind of where, you know, being,
the biggest part of it,
being
too.
A better.
Yeah.
That's what's where being a bigger company or a bigger brand, that's where you're.
Yeah.
That's where.
Winning races.
Yeah.
Ferrari doesn't have a cost, like a cap limitation.
Yeah. I mean, Mercedes shouldn't. I mean, Mercedes doesn't either. Yeah. I mean,
nah. Red Bull does, because it's like Red Bull doesn't have. I mean, it's obviously Red Bull. They're huge in the action sports on top of it, the energy drink.
Yeah. Speaking of the energy drink. I'm going to go back to Checo just for really quick.
Spain preview,
another theory I heard of why Checo got the year extension is because of the Red Bull sales in Mexico. If they drop him, think of like that just dipping.
It wasn't only that. That was a huge play in it, but it was like the sponsorships they would lose as a whole.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Checo's huge
in Mexico.
He's like the biggest one.
He's crazy marketable down there.
Yeah. Real quick. The sponsors. And he like, the drivers, a lot of the reason why they get their spot is the sponsorships they bring. It's not about talent. Well, it is about talent to a certain, obviously.
Not for Checo.
But it's like, But with the money that you bring to the team for, in sponsorships alone, that's how a lot of these guys get their start.
Yeah, good point.
Because you got daddy's money.
That's how the Russian guy
had to bring that Mazda's thing.
Yeah, that's how Mazda's been getting.
Latifi, same thing.
But so real quick, I heard that who was the old Ferrari president before?
You mean
Mario? Mario.
Matteo Bonato.
The guy that's buddies with Gunther.
Matteo.
I heard that he's going to Aston Martin.
I think I heard something similar. That's I
heard that a few weeks
not
ago.
Not as a president,
like a
rumor, but to
principal.
Work.
Principal. They're not presidents.
Principal, whatever.
Your world, homie. But I thought I heard a rumor of that actually a few weeks ago.
He's going to Aston, not for the principal, but
there was another high up.
Yeah, it was a big position.
Yeah,
probably one of those three you don't have to
don't have to worry about on the cap. You got anything to add, real quick?
I'm not finding anything on him. I thought I saw the same thing, but
I thought
maybe
I did too.
It does
maybe
sound familiar.
Maybe it didn't pan out or
locked
something.
Locked in this fact.
Probably his dark web. Kev, let's head to the Spain preview. And obviously, right off the bat with our Spain preview, Joe's kind of got our rundown of last year's Spanish Grand Prix. Joe, take it away.
Yes, talking about the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya. This year's is called Formula One Aramco Gran Premio de España 2024. This is thank you. Thank you. I'm gonna try naming them out every single race. This is just a personal note. This is probably one of my best tracks in the actual game. I feel like I crush this track.
Yeah, me too.
A quick fun fact.
It makes it to corner four.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I spin.
Yeah, one of them.
This is Fernando Alonso's most recent F1 win came at this circuit in 2013. Another quick fact, the circuit isn't amazing for overtakes, but we did see a little bit of action last year that I'll jump into. The start was Max, Carlos, and Lando. We saw the start of the race, Carlos fighting Max through the first few turns. He got beaten by the Dutchman. Meanwhile, behind them, a bit of contact between Lewis and Lando sees the McLaren fall back slightly due to front wing damage. Lando has to pit early for a new wing, ruining his chances of his best finish so far in 2023. This is still when the car was not looking amazing. It was right at the turning point, I would say. For 8 laps, we saw Stroll running third ahead of Hamilton before he made a move that gave him the overtake in the first corner. On lap 28, after the first round of pits, we saw him go for the overtake on Sainz for second. And Lewis makes that stick. 7 laps later, Russell makes the overtake on Sainz to collect the final podium position with 30 laps to go in the race. Alonso shows seniority to his old teammate Ocon, going for the overtake on lap 52 and fighting through Ocon's super late wide defensive move, slotting him into 7th behind his teammate. Perez, who qualified 11th for Red Bull, actually had a very strong race, finding his way through the field and overtaking Sainz for 4th in lap 53, 13 laps before the end of the race. That move solidifies our final grid position, Max finishing first, a whopping 24 seconds ahead of the two Mercedes, who fill out the rest of the podium, with Perez four seconds and Ferrari another 10 seconds behind. So our final was Verstappen to Hamilton to Russell to Perez to Sainz to Stroll to Alonso to Ocon to Zhou and then to Gasly. Tsunoda was in the points, but he got a penalty for forcing Zhou off the track. Both McLarens finished out of the points, Piastri 13th and Norris 17th. Ferrari's only hope was Sainz today, but he was unable to keep his position, and he finishes 5th, Leclerc finishing 12th. This is a really good day for Mercedes. Both got into the podium, Russell climbing 9 positions to get his placement during the race. So I think a couple things to note. Checo, good on this track. I think Red Bull in general were good on this track last year. McLaren, Lando qualified really well, but he got bad damage, so I wouldn't put his final position. I wouldn't say that that really means anything this year. And then Mercedes, also very good on this track. So I don't have them in my predictions, but we might see another good race for Mercedes this weekend.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking for sure. I mean, I don't know. That's really pushing it. I don't know, but with how well Mercedes ran last week,
it's such a different beast without that final chicane on the right before the last turn.
Yeah, and all the drivers love it too. Yeah, it makes overtaking so much nicer.
Especially coming into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a bottleneck right there that
obviously McLaren's going to have a way better day than they did.
Oh yeah.
Last season, I would imagine. I think we see Ferrari bounce back for sure.
But I think Mercedes is going to have another good race.
I was
going
to say, if Mercedes
last
can...
Last year, they had two good races this time of year. Yeah. They had a good race last year. I think these tracks just line up for that car.
If Lewis has an actual good drive by his definition, I don't know. I don't want to, like, get crazy here and say Lewis is on the podium, but...
Let's say it again. I mean, Lewis, mid to end of the season, every year, will show out. So he does.
This is when, I mean, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia of last year's kind of results here, and this is when Lewis kind of made that turn in the season. Now, granted,
I'm going to take a risk on my podium when we get there, but...
Ooh. Same.
I'm going to take a risk, but do we see a guy like Danny Rick? Not that we got to keep beating a dead horse on Danny Rick's name. I mean, we always talk about him, but... Do we see a guy like Danny Rick or the Alpines? Do they have an opportunity to even get into points this week? Or because those Ferraris, we're assuming, will be in that top 10, does that push a couple of these guys out? Stroll might be in that conversation. Do we see Hülkenberg have a better day? You know what I mean? Who's going to be that 8, 9, 10 area?
I see
a difference. I mean, yeah, maybe.
I think Albon's going to have a good race this week.
You missed the B first time, threw me off. Albon. But I think we see Hülkenberg for sure up there with that car. I think we see a bad race from Aston. I think we see a bad race from Aston, both the Astons. And then we're gonna see one of the Racing Bulls. We're gonna see either Yuki or Danny Rick.
I'm curious to see if Danny Rick can.
I don't think it's a good week for Alpine.
Finish in front of Yuki again.
I don't think it's another good race for Alpine.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see back to almost kind of what we saw earlier in the season. Kind of the top dogs are up there again, I think, this race.
For sure.
And then I think we see, we're going to see like the one Haas, and I think we see one of the Racing Bulls, and it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see the same kind of fight going up top, but I think we're going to see a different switch of the fight.
You said... bad day for Aston, maybe. You think Alonso's still in points type of bad day, or do you think he's out of points? I mean, Stroll, I'm assuming if you're saying Aston's having a bad day, Stroll's not sniffing points.
No.
But
no.
What about your boy Alonso?
If Alonso's sniffing points, he's fighting 9-10.
Okay.
He's not going to have another 7-8 race or 6-7-8 race.
Well, and again, I think they only finished that high. I mean, two Ferraris that automatically drops them another two spots from Canada, but... No, I think that's something to pay attention to.
Last year, Aston didn't look bad. They finished 6-7.
But if you have eight, right? If you have eight of the top four teams, I think all eight are in the top 10. Sure. Barring an engine issue or something, that all eight are in the top 10 this track, especially with how good Mercedes looks now.
So now you're talking about...
Now, who's the other two?
9-10.
Haas has got the top end speed. I think we see one of the Haas's up there. I think it's Nico. They had the top end speed.
Fastest track.
And... I mean,
best-ish.
And the reality is, I mean, the Racing Bulls look good right now. They look very good. Both drivers look good. And I think we see one of those two in the other spots. So I think we see a Haas and a Racing Bull in 9-10 or 8-10 type situation.
Interesting.
Is this a comeback week for Checo?
It has
top
to.
Oh, scratch that.
It has
we
to.
Will not see all the top four in the top eight.
Checo
is either 10 or 10 or out. I think that three, like, he has not shown this year that he can climb like he did last year at all. He doesn't have that climb. I think no matter who he's fighting with, it doesn't matter. I think that three-place grid penalty.
I keep forgetting about that.
So, I mean, he might finish.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
He might quality 12, 13, maybe climbs to 10. Maybe.
Dude, that's a good point. I totally forgot about the three-place grid penalty for him, too. Yeah. Yeah.
If we see him in, it's at the bottom. If we see him in there, and I think if he's not in there, I think, again, it's either Albon. If Checo's not in the top 10, it's either Albon or Danny Rick in the top 10 in that 10th spot.
Mm. So since you got the floor, what's your podium?
My podium is going to be Verstappen.
Classic.
I'm waiting for him. He's checking weather. Verstappen, I'm going to put Lando.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put Hamilton.
Ooh.
Nice. Well, I'll go next. I got the same thing.
Oh.
Whoa.
Ooh.
I feel like I'm going to be the one out.
Looking at me, yeah. I'm going to go with Verstappen.
Yeah, of course.
That was tough.
Second.
You're going Verstappen in second.
I think Lando's going to win this race.
I'm going Verstappen, Charles, and then Lando.
Okay. Very close to yours, actually. I'm going Max, Lando, and Sainz.
Sainz, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's his home race.
I'm done. Right. I gave up on putting him in the top three. I gave up on it.
You gave up on putting Sainz in your top three?
So many times. I lost so many points this year because I put that guy in my top three.
What are our standings?
This is the race.
Just to give an update on the standings.
Let's give an update on the standings. Not the best week from Cole and Joel last week, only getting 1 point. Smelty and I both got two, so we are both currently tied for the lead with 16 points. Joe is in third with 15, and Cole is bringing up the rear with 13.
Three's my lucky number.
Science, bro.
Science has been killing me a whole year, dude.
Well, I mean, Russell last week instantly screwed us got us all 1 point out.
That was wild.
You know, between you guys, it was Leclerc.
You know what should be fun for next season would be getting an extra point for quali P1. Like, ooh, who's going to quali P1?
We can start doing it the rest of the year.
Yeah, extra
right
bonus point.
We can start doing it the rest of the year.
Yeah, quali, blue bonus point.
Hey, I'm
going
to have to add a
P1.
Whole nother line to all of these. I pre-made this spreadsheet for the whole year.
Next year.
No, it's all good. We can do it.
Mm. You got to lead us off.
Damn it. Max, not to be really lame on the first time we're doing it, but
I got Lando.
Let's put me in for Lando. I was going to say Lando too. I was hoping I could be a little odd this week because I need the points, dude. I have the same lineup as Tyler and you're tied for first.
Yeah. Hey, take Lewis. Take Lewis for pole.
Ah, it's just a stretch.
Don't listen to me. You're in last place. What are you doing? Although I was in last place for a hot minute. I started taking risks.
I thought I was taking a risk with Lando.
I think we have money on this. Joe, who's your?
Oh, it's going to be Verstappen, 100%.
Maxwell.
Yeah, he's coming back.
All right, screw it. We'll try it out. See what happens. Mm.
I like that extra little bonus point, though.
We should do a little extra cheddar.
Well, let's do it this way. You pick this race. The other three of us, any one of the races, we get to pick a race. We want the extra one.
What do you mean?
So only do it four times this season.
Nah, let's do it every race.
Yeah.
Should we start picking who's gonna finish last? Logan.
Dude, that'd be kind of fun though. Little caboose point, we call it.
Or the 10th, that'd be cool. Calling 10th. Calling 10th.
10th would be
10th would actually be fun.
Calling 10th
would
be 3 points.
Wow. Oh boy, now we're getting crazy.
I don't know. I think that's too many points.
Now we're getting crazy.
I need them.
Column 10th is interesting.
Cole's calling for drastic measures.
That's so funny.
I wouldn't mind 10th. I like that idea.
You know what I'm doing? I'm pulling out Checo the rest of the year, dude. That's what I'm doing. I ain't playing it safe.
Well, let's try this week. We might add 10th next week.
Sounds good.
Or next, whenever the heck.
We can just switch it up every race, too. Just like bonus point for whatever this week.
10th or quality.
Ooh, play. How many safety cars are there going to be?
Or just like one every race.
Oh my God.
How many safety cars?
No, what I'm saying
is
every race, we just have something that's worth the bonus point. This week, who takes first? Next week, who finishes last? Week after, who finishes eighth?
I like it. Yeah, let's change it up.
Or how many safety cars are in the race?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bonus point, so whatever.
Just last thing on this, the scoreboard thing. Can we start going from first to last? I'm not gonna win if I can't just do the wild cards. I'll give you some crazy ones up there. I'll just give it to me, dude.
What do you mean? You want to predict first, second, and third?
No, I'm saying I will throw in some crazy predictions in there, like Lewis for pole. That's not that crazy, but it's kind of crazy right now, right?
Yeah.
I'll throw those in there, but I need to go last because I'm dead last.
In terms of, you want to go first?
No, I want to go last because I don't want anybody else to be the same pick because I need the points.
Oh, so you just want to throw a wild card in no matter what.
So if we go
Max, Charles, Lando, you're going to be like Bottas.
Yeah, yeah. So.
All right. Good to know. Joe.
Whoa.
Oh, yuck, buddy. All right, well, with that was Fast Laps with the Boys. Obviously, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Obviously, Kev off camera does all of this for us. Give him a special like. And, yeah, I guess. Well, are we here next week?
Yeah,
we are.
Three races in a row, baby.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's go. 3 weeks let's in a go. Row for fast laps. You'll see us next week.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.